I discovered a new coffee chain in Winnipeg. I wonder if you've been to it. It's called Empty Cup. You seen any of those? Yep, somebody has. The coffee and the baking is good, but it was initially the name that intrigued me. Like, who would start a business and call it empty? I mean, if you built houses, you know, empty houses, or whatever, you know, empty chicken farm. Because normally a company would choose a positive brand name for a new venture, especially when you want people to feel full and satisfied. Empty just sounds a little bit negative. They could have chosen, for example, Full Cup Fellowship, maybe not. Second Cup, of course, is already taken, we know that. But when I only did it in the past week, I went onto their website and they said the belief behind the name is that life is meant to be lived with a full cup. Interesting. So in a sense, you could turn it around and that they were saying, well, come empty, but be filled. And that, of course, reminds us of those incredible words of Jesus in John 10:10 when he says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. All of our fullness is met in Jesus Christ. We come empty, but we are filled by him. But we need to, first of all, see or recognize that we are actually empty. We need to recognize all the ways that we constantly try to fill ourselves with the wrong things, but we remain empty. 2 weeks ago, we started a little mini-series called Are You Ready? And so the last Sunday that I was here, we shared about, are you ready to let go of the past? And we were reminded we need to learn from the past, but that's not where we live. God calls us to let go of things like past, regret, shame, and fear. It was interesting. I think it was maybe Jen about just praying this morning for those who cannot sleep. And isn't it true that often in the late hours or in early morning, I don't know why that is, but those negative things come into our minds, and sometimes they're filled with regret, I wish I had of. They're filled with shame, I wish I wasn't like that, or fear. And really, it is the hunter. It is the enemy trying to rob us of our fullness in Christ, because no matter how we feel, no matter what we're struggling with, our fullness isn't, he never, never is empty of what he wants to give us through the Holy Spirit. Our fullness is found in him, but we need to be prepared to let go. It's a battle. And only as we are emptied of all the false sources of life can we be filled with the true source of life in God and all the fullness that he longs for us to experience. Maybe you're like that this morning. Maybe you've come with an empty cup, or maybe a half-empty cup, and you long for God's fullness in your life. The last time we looked at letting go, we mentioned that Christ himself emptied himself so that we might be filled, which is humbling, amazing to consider. God wants us to be ready for the new thing that he wants to do in our lives. And so the challenge, the word, the question to us today is this: are you ready to embrace the new thing that God is doing in your life, or that he wants to do in your life? Are you ready? God's people, you might remember, were held captive in Babylon. They had tried to fill themselves with all the wrong things, and as a result of their disobedience, they found themselves in a foreign land, captive by a foreign people. Imagine that happening. There's a number of young people here this morning as well. Imagine suddenly being taken from your home and your land, and you're in a brand new place that you don't know, and you can't fully be yourself. You certainly can't worship God. What would you think if God said these words? And they're from Isaiah 43 and verses 18 to 19. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Here's what God is saying. Here's the word for today. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? You see, God is always doing a new thing. He is the God of newness. I don't know whether you I've thought about this before, but every single day, no matter what the thoughts, no matter what the struggles that you have, every single day that we wake up to the creator of the world and the recreator of our lives. Every single day, we wake up with the knowledge that he has created us. And that no matter what has happened in the past, he is about making us new. He is recreating us into his image. And that's a good thing. Jen read those lovely words from Lamentations. His mercies never come to an end. He never runs out. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I love Pat Barrett's song, if you've heard it, Canvas and Clay. If you haven't, Google it later and play it. These are some of the words. Speaking about God, you are an artist and a potter. I'm the canvas and the clay. You make all things work together for my future and for my good. You make all things work together for your glory and for your name. And when I doubt it, Lord, remind me, I'm wonderfully made. You are an artist and a potter. I am the canvas and the clay. He's constantly drawing a new picture in our lives. He's constantly molding us into his image. And sometimes that is painful because sometimes we don't want to let go of those old things. And sometimes we don't want the new things because we're afraid of what that might mean. But it's always for our future and for our good, and I would add, for God's glory, always. When God created the world, imagine this. Try to imagine it. It was brand new. It was perfect. No potholes. Just as one example. But Adam and Eve believed the lie. Can you imagine it? In a perfect world, they believed the lie that God was holding back and they could do better. They thought that they could fill themselves without the Creator. They thought they could create a better new thing. Can you imagine it? Think of the most beautiful place in the world you've ever been. Outside of Winnipeg, apart from Ireland. I'm only joking. Maybe it's, I don't know, Hawaii or somewhere in the Caribbean. Think about it. Yeah, and that picture that comes into your mind and you think, whoa, you can't do any better than that. But imagine that thousands and thousands fold.
in the world that God created, and he said to Adam, you are what? You are free to enjoy as you worship me. And they thought they could do something better. Wow. And the new that God created was broken by their sin and their arrogance and thinking that they could do better than God, even that they could be like him. So centuries later, it's why God's people were held captive in Babylon. They had chosen empty idols over full life in God. And can I more than suggest that's exactly what we do today? It's exactly what the hunter tempts us with. You can do better. It's one reason why marriages fall apart. You can do better. Really? Because you see, something in our hearts is longing for that new thing. But we go after the wrong things and we choose a new fix, new in inverted commas, fix that can never fill our hearts because God is the source. Look around our world today at all the new things. Young people, but older as well, you will be told, go to the local cannabis shop. It's just beside your local grocery store and get a new fix. Or try this sexually and you'll get a new fix. Actually, it's not new. It's as old as the hills because it's the same temptation that Adam and Eve faced. Have this, do this. Others will come along and say, have you not tried this? Is there something wrong with you? And we're tempted. But it's empty. How do we know it's empty? Because it never satisfies our souls. We need something straight after, if not the next day, for the next high. That's how we know. And yet sometimes we are blind, the Bible says, to the fact that we are trying to find life in all the wrong things. We need more than a new fix. We need a new heart. A heart that is filled by God alone. Talk to people who are finding their value, their significance, their security, everything in God. Talk to people of faith that you know and ask them about that struggle. And if they are real with you, they will share, yes, it is a struggle. Yes, there is temptation. But I have learned and experienced over years and years that God is my life. He is my fullness. He is the one that satisfies. Have you received God's new heart? God's new life? Have you? I remember being very, very young and thinking that because my parents were Christians and I went to a Christian church and I enjoyed the stories from the Bible, that I too was a Christian. And it never completely dawned on me that I had to make a personal response of faith to God. And it wasn't until, and I hope you don't do this, young people, but I was, should have been sleeping. I was 8 years old. I was sitting at the top of the stairs and I was listening to my parents' conversation with my aunt. And it was intriguing to me because I discovered that my cousin, Jim, had become a Christian the previous day. He'd asked God for a change of heart and life. And Jim was my best friend. I couldn't believe that someone my age would need to do this. And it started a whirl of thinking in my mind. And it was one night later that I got out of my bed and knelt beside my bed and I asked God into my heart and life at 8 years of age. But it was real. I had much to learn. I had much to grow. It has to be a personal response. It struck me during the week, this might sound really strange, God does not own a tailor and alteration shop. Do you have one of these here in Winnipeg? Maybe you don't, or in Winnipeg, in Landmark. In Winnipeg, close to where we live, we do. And so if something's too short or long, they will fix it perfectly. God doesn't have such a shop. He does not patch up the old to fill us. And Jesus talked about this when he used the metaphor of old and new wineskins. Strange metaphor, but this is what he says. No one pours new wine into old wineskins. If they do, the skins will burst and the wine will run out. Now, there's a chemical reason for that. We won't go into that this morning. But it's simply put, God gives us a new heart to fill us with the new life of the Holy Spirit. He doesn't patch up the old. He doesn't pour in the new over the old in the hope that it will work. He gives us a brand new heart, a brand new attitude, a brand new way of thinking. And when that happens, everything is made new. The old has gone and the new has come. We are new creations in Christ. Imagine that. Imagine waking up one morning and discovering that everything is new. You see through different eyes. You feel through a different heart. Your heart beats to things that they never once did. God wants us to embrace his new. This is where I need your help this morning. And we probably could have done with a slightly bigger board, but this will start us off. I want us to think about, and it's interesting, already there's probably about 10 things that we have sung this morning that are new. I want you to think about new things that God brings into our lives. And I want you to shout them out. And I'd love, would one of our young people maybe come up and write them down for us? Would anyone like to do that? And if they get more than 20, we'll offer an all expenses paid trip to Ireland. Maybe. Shouldn't tell lies in church, I guess. Anybody like to write them down? Okay, if not young, anybody a little bit older, help me out here. Thank you so much. Jody, isn't it? Okay, good, thank you. That's okay. I'm told you have to hold the board as well, too. Okay. So go for it. Let's shout them out. New joy. Keep going. Priorities. Good. Be confident. Sorry. Strength. Peace. Yep. New hope. New love. New thinking. Yes, new perspective. Anything else? Patience, new patience, yes. New deliverance. New power, yep. Oh, that's a good one, yep. New perseverance. New thankfulness. Brilliant. New choices. Born
Okay, that's enough. And you're wearing green too. So, during the week, over the week, I came up with 50. And then in our prayer time before the service, it was annoying because some people mentioned things that I didn't think of. So it's actually surprising the number of new things. A couple of extra ones, new identity. We sang about new freedom this morning, new passion, new gifts. Puts a new song, new gratitude, new worship. He gives us a brand new future. Read Revelation 21, 1 to 5 about the brand new future. It just keeps on going. He gives us new words. When God makes something new, it's brand new. That's why every morning we wake up with the creator and recreator of our lives. He wants us to see and embrace the new thing that he is doing. The hunter says, here, have this. Have this and it'll satisfy. And God says, have this. All that I have died for and rose again that you might have. Every single day is about experiencing and stepping into the newness of God, but we need to embrace it. I want you to hear, please hear, the passion that God has to fill us with his new life. Going back to our Isaiah verse, he says, see, I am doing a new thing, ! Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? Do you not see it? Because God doesn't want us to miss anything of his newness. And the fact that he calls us to see it and asks us, do we not see it, means it's possible for us to miss it. We can have trouble seeing if we think that there's nothing more to discover about the newness of God. I remember years and years and years ago, it's one of those things that sticks with me. That probably is a negative thought. And I was very young, and I think I was probably doing one of my first mentoring sort of discipleship classes or meeting with someone. And we went through week by week. I can't remember how many, but let's say it was 8 or 10 different things that would be really good to know for a new Christian starting out. And that's a really good thing to do. But I remember at the very end of it, I can still see the scene where I was sitting with the person and I said, that's it. When we'd come to the end. And even then, when I said those words, I thought, no, it's not. And because we had quite a good relationship, I was able to say to that person, well, actually, that's the start of the journey. But we can get a bit like that, can't we? That's it. No. God wants us to keep on seeing. Sometimes we don't expect God to do anything new. Even in our lives, we think, that's it. But there's always something new to discover about God. Always something new. That's why when we go to the Bible, God's Word, and we read, and sometimes you'll hear Christians or others saying, like, I didn't see that before. It was there. And there are many reasons for that, but I think it's because
The newness of the revelation of God comes by the Holy Spirit. And it's not like it's added truth, but it's illuminated truth right into the situation and situations and circumstances that we are facing right now. And it's God is speaking right now, right then, into our lives. He might even be doing that this morning. He does that when we come together as church, as a family, and we think, God, what? I mean, how does that person know what I'm experiencing, what I'm going through? Well, he or she doesn't, but it's the Holy Spirit speaking newness into our lives. Another reason we have trouble seeing God's new thing is because we're holding on to the old. We're afraid of stepping into the new because we don't know what that might mean for us. Will it be as good as the past? Will we survive? Am I good enough? I know people who are not yet baptized as a profession of their faith in Jesus because they feel they have to reach a certain standard of being good enough. And it's like God is saying, ah, that's not it. Do you not see it? I have made you new in the righteousness of Christ. That's the whole point of it. It's not about how enough you are or how enough you feel. It's about my righteousness, which is always enough. So come through me. Baptism is just simply a demonstration of the fact that I'm not enough, but God is full. He's everything. It's why I am buried and raised out of that water in the newness of life. That's what it is. And that's a symbol of the rest of our lives. When the evil one says, you're not enough. No, I'm not, but God is, and I'm completely full, and there's nothing you can do about it, and there's nothing you can take away, and there's nothing you can add, because my security is in Christ and his fullness and his sacrifice and his resurrection. Linked to that, sometimes we don't fully believe that God has a new thing for us because we think that even think that God is holding the past over us and that we're not free to choose him. It's interesting. That's why in the New Testament, time after time and time again, Paul and others say you need to keep putting off the old and putting on the new. Again, young people here today, does your mom or your dad have to remind you to change your clothes? Maybe sometimes. But clothes only last a while and then they need to be washed and then you need to put on fresh new clothes. So it is with the Christian life. It's easy to pick up on wrong things and have wrong habits that are not coming out of God's newness. But they're coming out of sometimes our indiscipline and sometimes our waywardness. And so the transformation process of becoming more like Jesus begins as we recognize, as we take off those old things through repentance and put on the new life in God by faith. That's a continuous process in our lives. I wonder what the new thing was. Imagine going back to the people held captive in Babylon. What was the new thing? And we're not told this. The new thing that they began to see that life would be different. Because they thought that was it. They thought in the words of the world that was their fate. Or the famous words, you'll get to know me, that I don't like, that it's sort of Manitoban It is what it is. No, it's not. We believe in the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. He makes all things new. But what did they say? Because they were going day after day after day after day. And I don't know what they saw that would have been different. But God says, do you not see it? It's springing up. Ooh, there's an interesting word. Because sometimes we don't see it because we don't expect God to work in this place and this place and this place. You ever got into that mindset? You think, well, God can't possibly work there. And sometimes it's linked to, because that thing is so small or so insignificant, well, no, that couldn't possibly be God. Here's a question, and it's not a trick question. What do you think is the biggest new thing that God has ever done? I realize there are a number of ways to answer this, but what's the biggest new thing that God has ever done? Work on the cross, yep. What about pre-cross, before the cross? What's the biggest thing he's ever done? Creation. So between creation and the cross, those are big things. What's the biggest thing that God ever did? Yes, he sent his son. He sent his son to be the savior of the world. In what form was he sent? Even before a baby. Small seed. Small embryo in a teenager's womb. Who would have ever thought to look there for the biggest thing that God ever did? Wow. The biggest new thing that God has ever done came in the form of a helpless, vulnerable, crying baby. Easy to miss, easy to dismiss, unless you were wise, unless you saw a star, not just any star, God's star, unless you were attentive and curious enough to leave where you were and travel and follow the star, to see, what is God up to? The new seed that God is doing starts very often with a small, small seed, a seed of hope, a seed of faith, a seed of love. Often, it starts with a child. A few years ago, I don't think I've shared this with you. I remember as a pastor emerging from the pandemic era challenges into what felt like a new and very different world. Do you remember that? Not everyone was coming back to church. Some people had disappeared. Some people sadly had left their faith. Some were wounded. Some were confused. Some were lost. And many still remained steady and faithful. And looking around, it was not easy to see the new thing that God was doing. One Sunday, we were worshiping. I don't know how you did that here in the pandemic era, but without anyone leading, just the pre-recorded songs on the screen, I remember standing and worshiping, and my eye was caught by an 8-year-old child to the side of me. She was standing with her arms
raised in worship as she sung, and I still remember, "He has done great things." Her eyes were closed, her lips moved as she worshipped the God who does new things. Her parents and the family were behind her. People were around her, but she was oblivious. She was, as an eight-year-old, worshipping. And I remember with a tear in my eye thinking, "God, is this the new thing that you're doing? I'm worried that we don't have someone leading the worship. I'm worried that, you know, we're singing with the music in the background and the words on the screen, and it's not what we're used to. God, is this the new thing? Do you want me to begin to see things that I did not see before and could not have seen before?" A few months later, this same little girl asked her dad if she could be baptized. She was sure she wanted to do this because of what Jesus had done for her. But her dad wasn't baptized yet himself. And as soon as she asked the question, God spoke to him saying, "Will you be baptized also?" A few months later, the dad and his daughter were baptized as they witnessed God's new thing in their lives. Who would have thought? A child. And yet God's word tells us a child will lead them. When God began to speak to my heart about stepping into a new thing a few years ago, it felt risky. What if I was wrong? What if I was mishearing God? What would this mean for our family? What if I needed to let go of certain things? And as God worked in my heart, I reached a stage of having shared what I believed God was up to with the elders to pray with me, and they prayed with me over a period of 4 months. But I had not shared yet with the congregation when one Sunday something extraordinary happened. I was just finished preaching one Sunday, and I was feeling very vulnerable. And I stepped off the platform, and as was usual, people started to mill and gather around, and some people tried to make their way to me. And I caught sight of a 3.5-year-old little girl who weaved her way through the crowd. And as she approached me, I knelt down, I spoke her name and said hi. She looked at me and she said, "Pastor Sam, can I give you a hug?" "Sure," I said. She gave me a hug, turned, and went back to her parents. And it felt like God had just given me a hug to remind me that he was with me on this journey. I spoke afterwards to her parents, and they said, I don't know what's going on, you know. She was sure she wanted to speak to you this morning. I have more stories like that because God began speaking to me through children. Sometimes we need to learn to look in the unexpected places. Sometimes the unexpected events, like, you know, why did you just allow that, God? But along with that question, we need to be asking, God, what are you up to? We've all stories, I'm sure, of that. God invites us to come and see what he's up to. He invites us to be attentive, curious, and humble, to follow and be filled with him. In my few weeks with you here at Landmark, I believe sincerely in my heart that God is at work in you as his church. He's doing something new, and he's not finished yet. Keep being attentive, curious, and humble as you follow him.
He's the artist and the potter. We are the canvas and the clay. There's nothing that he can't do for our good and his glory. It mightn't feel like it at the time, sometimes, but it's for our good and it's for his glory. He's always working. As I invite Jen and Ina up, I want to leave you with two questions for reflection and to consider how God would have you respond to his word this morning. The two questions are these. What new thing has God graciously given you that you need to embrace? I want you to hear that. That's not a negative question. That's a very positive question. What new thing has God given you that you need to embrace? And even as I ask that question, I'm getting the picture of, you know, you can't quite believe it's true. and it's if, you know, no, but God, I'm not enough. I don't deserve. But what is God calling you to embrace? And secondly, what new thing is God doing in your life, perhaps in your family or even in the church, that you need to explore, that you need to say, oh, what's that about? Why is that actually happening more than once? Is God up to something? Do we need to hear what he's saying about that? Do we need to move towards where he's working rather than where I think he should be? And finally, I want to say this. Just been conscious last night and this morning that the hunter wants to steal the seed and the truth away. So if God is speaking to you this morning by the Spirit, I would invite you to respond. And so I'm going to ask you this morning, if God is speaking to you, there's something that you need to let go and receive his new. It might be new life, a bit like that 8-year-old many years ago. It might be new life for the first time. And it might be the embracing of the new that God has for you now. It might be letting go of all the shame-based stuff that keeps you tied to the past and entering into the new grace that's available for you today. I'm literally going to ask you to come to the front, and I will pray openly with you for all of you. And then afterwards, there's opportunity for you to pray specifically with someone, but maybe as a response. If you don't feel you can come to the front, then just stand where you are. But that response, I think, is important because it's saying, God, I want your newness in my life. Give you opportunity to respond. And